I'm Tommy Gimler. Tough day for fantasy dorks, as the New York State Attorney General said daily fantasy sports sites are just as illegal as paying a young Russian immigrant $10 to stick her tongue up your ass. What does this mean for the future of all fantasy sports leagues, if anything? We'll discuss.
And I'm the fabulous T'Shawn, and much like Michael Crabtree, my ability to suck in these balls is really something to behold.
The Daily Upper-Decker, nothing but sports and crap.
All right, T'Shawn, just you and I tonight, buddy. Tough crowd.
Mm-hmm, just the two of us.
Yeah. The guy from Total Packers, the guy who runs Total Packers and TotalSteelers.com, it's his birthday. It's his birthday dinner. So we lost Dutch, and Barry Murphy's back from his honeymoon, and I think he's a little sore.
From what do you think?
Well, he was in San Diego last night for the Bears game. That's a tough parking lot to get through. I could have been at least a 2-inch incision in the wrong way.
Yeah, interesting. I'm headed down there actually in a few weeks myself to the Bronco game. So
the Broncos Chargers.
Yeah, wearing I'll probably be wearing the Sean Phillips jersey. Of course, he played most of his years in San Diego, so I don't know how that's going to go over. Quite frankly.
Well, that might actually save you. Wait a minute, bro. Is he wearing a former Chargers jersey? Like, what was that scene in Training Day when he's like, where did you get this wallet?
Right.
You know, and he's like, okay, they were about to kill him, but then they were like, wait a minute. He saved our girl. That might save you. That might be a good jersey. Like, no, I'm with one of you fellas. I'm with you fellas right here. It's the only one I could find.
I'm not pulling that trick.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then let's just jump right in here, buddy. It was an eventful sports week, yet not, I think. You know, as I was digging for stories, I'm like, it's a tough week. But
there was really actually some, well, I mean, you've pulled out some less serious stuff, but there was some fairly intense stuff as well going on.
And that just shows you the level, just the range we have here at the Daily Upper Decker. Serious, we can go funny, man. We can do it all, baby. Let's do it.
We're like the fucking WikiLeaks of sports here. We're giving you everything.
Whatever's out there.
I think we should start with what I brought up, though. I think that really is just a hilarious clip.
All right, let's go with it then. It's time for the hot mess.
The hot mess.
Should I pull it up here on my phone?
Yeah. Just go ahead and. All right. Like it really. I mean, it was. So this happened during the Steeler Raider game this past weekend, and it was a good play, but a more or less innocuous point in the game. But
right, and it just comes to the point to where it's like, you know. It was like the hockey announcer like a week and a half ago when he was talking about like an old story, and he was like, and there he stood with 6 inches of shaft in his hand. But he caught himself right at that point. He caught himself, and like the look on his face was like he knew. It was like, oh, that's a reference.
He's like, I wish I had said 10.
Yeah. Have you ever seen that clip? It's outstanding. So, again, this is the Daily Upper Decker, nothing but sports and crap. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, at Daily Upper Deck, and then, of course, on Vine. And this is our latest Vine. This is during the courtesy of CBS, the Steelers and Raiders game, which was much too close for my liking when you bet everything you've got on the money line. But the Steelers pulled it out.
Which ain't much.
And the Steelers pulled it out. Hey-o, which kind of leads into this as well. That's a little innuendo as well. This is an actual call from a professional broadcaster for the CBS Corporation.
Blown away by Crabtree's hands and his ability to suck in these balls. Blown away by Crabtree's hands and his ability to suck in these balls.
I mean, and he's laughing. He's laughing as he's saying it, too, you know? So it's, come on.
His emphasis on the word suck is something else.
Yes, it is. Because he's like, his emphasis on his hands and his ability to suck in these. But he really goes for it.
He's like, oh, no, I'm saying it and I'm meaning it and it is going to be funny. I mean, that's kind of, I think, all that shit went through his head.
It was like the point of no return. It was like the point of no return for him. He's like, I'm going.
Oh, shit, I'm going there. It was like these milliseconds of like recognition in his head. And he's like, I'm really going there, and I'm really going to say it like that.
And he just, because he couldn't stop on suck, right? Because you can't just say it. His ability to suck. All right, first down. Right. First down. You got to finish your thought, right? Or otherwise people are going to be like, what the fuck is going on? You've already lost me so many times this game. That is, yeah, sucking these balls. Yeah, that, it's like when you get busted for a Dewey, right? Like, you know, Mark Grace gets busted for a Dewey, or Donovan McNabb gets busted for a Dewey. It seems like every couple months, right? So it's like, you know, what do you do when you get to your mugshot, right? Do you just sit there and you look upset? No, you smile. You give it a good go. There was like a girl who got busted, a 19-year-old girl who got busted for slinging like dope. I mean, it was weed, coke, a form of LSD, ecstasy, meth. She had it all just off of the Texas A&M campus. And she's like a small, like dainty, good-looking 19-year-old girl. And she gets busted for this, which if she gets if she gets charged on all three of these counts, she's going to spend 215 years in prison. And in her mugshot, she's like, you know, because it's like, go there. You're going. Just go for it.
I guess so. It's a
testament to in these balls.
Yeah, these balls.
Well, but speaking of that, I think maybe we should, you may have segued marvelously into another 19-year-old girl.
Let's start with this then. All right, so... arguably the biggest game over the weekend. It didn't turn out to be that way as far as score wise, but arguably the biggest college football game over the weekend was in Tuscaloosa as the second ranked LSU Tigers traveled to meet the fourth ranked Alabama Crimson Tide. And tickets were, I looked before I wrote the article, the cheapest pair of tickets for the game after taxes was $351. And taxes, fees, all that.
And that's down south. I mean, like, you don't pay that for, like, a house down there. Like,
correct. Yeah, I mean, that's 2 months rent on campus, $351. So a young lady, Jamie Johnson is the young lady's name. She's 18, could be 19 now. Decent looking, right?
I would say good.
I would go for it if I saw her on campus. Here's a post. Now, this is the crazy thing, too. She works at an elementary school. She works as an aide. So she's a student at Alabama, and she's a teacher aide at Arcadia Elementary School in Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Wow, you really called it out.
Right. Well, no, that's read the article. DailyUpperDecker.com. Nothing but sports and crap. So that's according to Jamie Johnson's Facebook page. She is a teacher aide. Teacher aide, not teacher's aide, just teacher aide.
Well, it is down
at
south,
Arcadia
again,
Elementary
down South.
School. Apostrophes are punctuation is optional.
You don't worry about that.
she works at an elementary school in Tuscaloosa. And I said, I guess the correct word is was, because she went on the Alabama Student Ticket Exchange and said, I need two LSU tickets. I have $2 and my roommate will consider having sex with you.
Suck in these balls.
So I asked you, would it be worth it?
If I was the one saying that, or
let's say you had two tickets to the LSU Alabama game, you know that it's going for $351. As long as the roommate doesn't have a dick,
suck in these balls.
That's the catch right there, right? What if her roommate's a dude? But
all right, so it's not with this girl that's promoting it that we've actually seen.
So then a couple of guys started commenting, like, you know, I'm just saying, why are you putting your roommate up and not you? And she said, well, she volunteered, but if I have to, I will, I guess. So that's potentially a threesome right there.
I will, I guess.
So for
that just opens a world of trouble.
For 300, so for that's potentially you're handing over $351 worth of goods, and in return you're getting a potential threesome with Jamie Johnson and her roommate. So I had said I would do it, but consider would have to be taken out of the equation. Like, I'm not going to hand you the tickets and then you're going to look at me and like consider having sex. No, it's a done deal. It's a done deal. Yeah. That was the wording. Like, my roommate will consider having
needs
sex.
Needs some paperwork, I think. Then. Maybe a lawyer and a notary, maybe. I don't know. Something like that to make that deal happen. I don't know.
I would almost just give her the two tickets and tell her to shove them up her hump hole and say, hey, I'm going to come get these now. That's it.
I'm not even saying. I don't know what kind of visual you just created there, but.
Well, I mean, at least that's it. You're getting like at least $50 worth there, right? Going back up to get him.
Am I giving up? I'd like to think that as an attendee of the game, that I'd be so shit faced that my game would be full swagger, and I won't have needed to have gone to these lengths. I would get to see the game
And still have sex.
And maybe still get some action, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, yeah, you would probably be able to see the game, and then as you stumbled through a Tuscaloosa bar, there would be girls who would consider having sex with you. Right. Consider it.
Because you saw the game.
Right. And that you're... And if you're decked out in the Roll Tide colors.
Oh, come on. And you're like, I'm the backup kicker.
Right. Or, no, all you have to say is, like, I played here 10 years ago. Hey, this guy played here 10 years ago. That's it. Yeah, they would consider having sex with you. Now, obviously, it was just a joke. But for her sake, let's hope her employer. In 2015, it seems like you can't make jokes like that anymore.
Can't erase the internet, my friends.
I thought it was hysterical. Thought it was hysterical. But if you Google Jamie Johnson, Alabama, now we're the fifth thing that pops up. So congratulations, Jamie. Yeah, enjoy
top
that.
Top five. Way to go, girl.
And I've got two tickets to the Brewers. Not the home opener for the Brewers, but the second game of the year. All right.
You have it to like the winner's banquet, the end of the year banquet? Yeah, we're giving out nothing this
I've got
year.
Two tickets to the world's toughest mutter, Jamie Johnson. The world's toughest mutter. For you and your roommate to consider. Those are like $20. College football. So how'd you do this week in college football? Did you bet?
I always a lot of like little levers pulled and different deals going on. But I did poorly the whole weekend, whether it was paid or non-paid, so to speak. Like pro college, I picked things poorly. That's it.
See, I don't think you were alone, but like I've always maintained this. I'm a big conspiracy theorist, and I've always maintained that Vegas has a hand in so many of these games.
I know.
And whether or not you want to think it's through the coaches and their play calling, through some of the players, I think usually it comes through the referees. And I think when it comes to like the Tim Donaghy situation in the NBA, it just opened up a big can of worms in every single professional or even collegiate sport, in that why would Tim Donaghy be the only one who's ever done this, right? So in the game of football, there are two calls, actually three calls now, ever since they added defensive holding to the mix, that allow for that automatic first down that can either kill or continue a drive. Right. So offensive holding obviously kills a drive. It adds an extra 10 yards. Coaches become conservative usually. But otherwise, defensive pass interference, automatic first down. A lot of times it's a spot foul. Otherwise, there's defensive holding, automatic first down, 5-yard penalty, boom. The drive keeps going. And you can call this shit on almost every single play.
Every play. Well, this is what I just... It does drive me a little bonkers. I wish there was a way, but it's nearly indistinguishable between plays that they call and not call. And then you have, like, the announcers. This is where I start to somewhat agree with you in all your conspiracies and your thinking like this. It's sort of a wry smile comes upon my face. But, and it's just like you're trying to explain this. You guys are stumbling and bumbling over explaining why this play was called and then this last one was not.
That's what I love about Boomer Esiason. If you ever watch a game called by Boomer Esiason, he's like, that's just a terrible call, Al. Or, Wayne, that is just a terrible call. Again, the referees are making their mark on this game. Listen to a game Boomer Esiason calls on the radio.
He's a Bronco hater.
It is outstanding. Well, yeah, then it's tough. But he hates the officials. He hates them. He just can't stand them. And did you watch a Sunday night game, the Eagles-Cowboys?
No, I had enough of football at that point. Like, my fantasy teams got destroyed. All my picks, everything was wrong. Betting, picking, everything football related was total dog shit. I needed a fucking break from goddamn football at that point. Plus, I hate those goddamn teams.
Game of Thrones wasn't on, man. It was
awful.
It was
nothing. Like, I was like, why do I even – I don't want the television on. I will save $1.75 in my power fees.
Well, the last drive, the Eagles eventually won in overtime, right? But for that game to get to overtime.
I did have Jordan Matthews actually on my fantasy team.
So okay.
So I only lost by like 57.
So you're a liar. Oh, all right. You still lost. All right. But in that game, if you're watching, the Eagles had a 24-21 lead, I think it was, 24-21 lead, and the Cowboys are driving. There were more flags thrown on that final drive for them to kick the field goal that pushed them into overtime than actual plays that were played. It was just like as soon as the ball was snapped, like every single ref and every single umpire threw their flag onto the field. It was crazy. I mean, every single play. Go back when the NFL Network like shows their rewind this week. Watch that final drive. And there's a flag. Defensive holding. Defensive pass interference. You know, 12 men on the whatever. I mean, 12 men on the field is a penalty, but like holding pass interference, boom. That drive was aided by so many flags just to go to overtime.
Do you think they were relieved when there were 12 men? At least this is one we know for sure actually happened. We can count the guys. Everyone saw them. At least we can call this penalty with, you know, full assurance.
Thanks, DeAndre. Yeah. Thanks,
or,
buddy.
Is that start, you know, is there like the, is it the, like, the back, all the backup players, are they in on it too? Are they sort of like, oh, if someone needs to step on the field, you know, by accident or like too soon or doesn't know the play.
It's hard to say that all of the players are into it, right? Because that's just unrealistic, right? It's hard to get that many people to follow a script. All right, have you ever been in an improv troupe?
That's true. That is true.
There are no scripts there, but it's hard to keep people on the same page. Yeah. But you know, but as far as like certain coaching techniques, like sometimes you question like 3rd and 16. Yeah. Why are you rushing three guys?
Yeah,
blitz him. He hasn't been able to whatever. But the whole point of this is I felt that this weekend, above all others that I've seen this year at least, there were more bad beats this weekend than I have seen in a long time. Case in point, the Nebraska-Michigan State game, which you had a vested interest in.
I did. Yeah, no, that was one that didn't go my way.
No, it did not. And I want you to listen to the call on this. So if in case you didn't see the game or if you don't give a shit, if you're still listening, it's great. Thank you. Daily Upper Decker, Twitter at Daily Upper Deck. What happened is with less than 2 minutes to go in the game, Michigan State was up 12 points. And technically, Nebraska had the ball with like 4 minutes left. So they did a 2-minute, 29-second drive, got it underneath 2 minutes, scored to make it a 5-point game. Then an onside kick failed. Michigan State ran the ball three times, three and out, but Nebraska burned all their timeouts. They punt the ball down to the Nebraska 9. So Nebraska now has 55 seconds to go 91 yards for a touchdown to win the game. There's no field goal, nothing in play. So all of a sudden, Tommy Armstrong, who's not a good quarterback.
Junior. They never
said Tommy
that.
Armstrong Jr.
I don't know
Jr.
why they didn't say that.
Tommy Armstrong Jr.
Armstrong Jr. on his back, and they just kept calling him Tommy Armstrong. I don't
know. Here at the Daily Upper Decker, we like to be precise. So Tommy Armstrong Jr.
No, that's, you know, that's
he was terrible. He's a terrible quarterback, and that's one of the reasons why the Nebraska Cornhuskers had 6 losses going into the game.
Right.
He is not a good quarterback.
Well, he made his 3 best throws of his fucking life.
All of a sudden, on the final drive, 32 yards. 29 yards. So it sets them up with 25 seconds to go or 23 seconds to go. It sets them up on the Michigan State 30-yard line. And this is what happens.
Suck in these balls.
23 seconds left. Armstrong. And the receiver was out of bounds. He caught it. It's a touchdown, but he stepped out. Was he pushed out?
So right away, the announcers are like, they called it the way they saw it. They're like, he was out of bounds, came back in, touchdown, but.
Yeah, they watched. They did. They just.
Around the 5-yard line, the officials are having a discussion.
I don't know that he was pushed out.
He was not, and he was not.
That's why you don't know if he was pushed out, because he was not.
I think we have a fairly sizable Big Ten kind of listenership here, and you may have been watching this game. Like, everyone would agree that motherfucker was not pushed
out.
But
listen to this.
He's not pushing him out of bounds. He clearly just runs out of bounds.
So these are, like, announcers who have played the game, or have at least been around the game more than just your average person, and they're looking at the television screen like an average human being. Like we are, we're all sitting there looking, we're watching, we're like, oh, he's out of bounds. Okay, now it's going to be 3rd down. They'll get another shot. And the referees all come together and they're like, it has come to our, you know, we've determined that the receiver was pushed out of bounds. He was able to come back in. The touchdown's good. Yeah, and you said they went and reviewed it.
They reviewed it.
So how do you review that? How do you review that and look and see everybody else who's watching the game? Every Nebraska fan would have told you. Nebraska fans, they're not stupid. Mm. They're not. You know, the history at Nebraska, there's a lot of good history. Every Nebraska fan would have told you that he ran football. Out of bounds on his own, came back in. So why would the referees make that call? There is no reason other than the fact that the fix was in on that game. There is no other reason that they would go under the hood, look at it, take direction from anybody else. Anybody else who goes under the hood says, yeah, he ran out of bounds. Yeah, it's third down.
No, I mean they just sort of confirmed he was pushed out of bounds and that was that. I mean it's fairly absurd.
It's fairly absurd because it didn't happen. He ran out of bounds. He didn't know where he was. He turned around to look for the ball. He didn't know where he was.
And that's why. And the other guy, sort of the defender, was kind of motherfucker's out of bounds. Like he sort of slipped and he was on the ground, but he was like. I don't really have to worry about him.
But he was behind him. Yeah, he was.
He's standing. Yeah, he was. But he like slipped. But he's like, it's not. He put his, you know, he had like his toes out of bounds. I mean, he had 2 feet. He was just standing on like the big white stripe.
For a long time. He ran almost 10 yards out of bounds just looking back. It'd be like me being over at Yum Yum Donuts and my wife saying I raped her.
Suck in these
and like the security footage.
There's some differences.
Not many. So I'm over at Yum Yum Donuts across the street. The security footage shows that I'm across the street when my wife says she's being raped, and the cops still say, yep, there's enough here to bring you in.
I think you got to save some of that legal jargon for the pile tonight.
It's all foreshadowing. All foreshadowing.
it's hard to understand like how that shook down. You know, I think the refs...
had money on Nebraska, as long as Nebraska won the game, there was a lot of money because if you looked at that spread, Michigan State was a 4-point favorite.
Right.
And if you're just the average better and you're looking and that game was at night, so maybe you took a beating during the day as well, right? So you're like, where can I make my money back? Michigan State -4, they're undefeated. Nebraska, they've lost 6 times, including they lost by 10 to Purdue.
Right.
Like -4. Why not? And it was -190 for the money line. That's pretty good.
Right. For that type of fit. To me, I think the more suspicious thing there is like why it was only, you know, why not more than a touchdown? That should have been like, 7 to 10 points.
Correct. And then if you looked at our betting league, everybody had Michigan State. Everybody had him. So Vegas cleaned house on it.
Yeah.
So I'm telling you, there's no reason. There's no other reason. There's no way the refs could go under there, look at that, and unless they were being told by a higher power, whether or not that's Vegas, the NCAA, whatever, because I'm sure they're in cahoots, because it creates ratings, doesn't it? Doesn't it create ratings? Oh, baby. That was pretty much the worst one. But the other two I want to talk about, LSU and at Alabama, the over-under was 46.5. Now, again, it's a night game, so when people start losing, it's just human nature. You're like, I'm going to make my money back tonight. So it's a night game. So people started loading up on the over, and it moved from 46.5 up to 47. So, and it might have been 47.5, but don't quote me on that. But I know it was at least 47 when I saw it. So over under 46.5. And if you looked at like the way these teams played each other the last 5 years, like the under was almost the safer bet. But sooner or later, that trend is going to break. And that's the way people were thinking.
So most people took the under?
Most people took the over. Because sooner or later, the trend's going to break. Under hits so many times that sooner or later, the trend's going
to
break.
That's felt like a lot of points to me one way or another. I know they had the big, they both had like these, the powerful running backs and such. And that felt high. I will tell you, I didn't know that was the over, but to me, that feels like that was set high.
And it felt really high after the first quarter when they scored 0 points combined. So however it may be, Alabama starts scoring very easily. And by the time they have like a 17-point lead, or even more than that, on LSU in the fourth quarter. So, but with like 9 minutes left to go in the game, or like 9.5, 10 minutes, you're like, hey, we're just a touchdown away from the over hitting. If you took the under at 46.5, there were 40 points with like 12, in somewhere between 10 to 12 minutes left in the fourth quarter. It was at 40. So you're like, holy shit, I'm a touchdown away from losing. So then LSU scores that touchdown. LSU scores that touchdown with 9 minutes and 18 seconds left. So it's like if you've got it at 46.5, you're like, shit, Here's 46. Here comes the extra point. Did you see what happened?
No, I didn't.
You're going to want to see this. I want to get T-Shawn's. I want to see T-Shawn's.
I didn't see the end of the game. I lost this one, too. I did take LSU in this game. Oh, yeah. No, I did see this. I'm sorry. I did.
That's a 325-pound man right there who, against an offensive line of LSU's caliber, he was just able to run, jump over. No one put a paw up to stop him or anything. Right down the middle, conveniently, from where they were going to kick the extra point. Boom, he blocks it. So now you're stuck at 46. It's 30-16, right?
It probably just increased his draft potential, though.
I'm sure it did. I'm sure that you just put him up to the fourth round. Mel Kiper will start talking about it. He's got great agility. Great hops for 325 pounds. Like the way he plays the game. So anyway, but even at that point, if you still had the over, you're like, no worries. 9 minutes and 18 seconds left in the game.
Right.
What happens? Alabama, 3 third downs they convert on. They hold the ball for the rest of the game. The under comes in at 46, all because that fat fuck was able to jump over the LSU offensive line without them even attempting to block him.
I think right down surprised. The middle. They were surprised.
No way is this guy going to be able to jump.
Where did this guy come from?
All right, let's look at everybody on the other side of the line who might be able to jump over the line. He's not going to be able to
definitely
do it.
Definitely not him. Yeah. Oh, shit.
The hot mess.
All right, we got to move on here in the hot mess. It was a dark day for fantasy dorks. I talked about this in the onset. T-Shawn, what do you think? The New York State Attorney General said daily fantasy sports sites are now illegal. What does this mean for the future of all fantasy sports leagues, if anything?
I mean, they said it. What does that mean? Like, does that mean anything?
So that means now Nevada was number one, and now New York's number two. They're saying that New York citizens can no longer.
Is that your Easy Bake Oven going off?
No, that's tonight? Barry Murphy.
No.
Couldn't be here tonight. He's too sore. Wants me to play in a softball tournament this week in Palm Springs. I don't know if I've got enough sunscreen. So basically they're saying that if you're in the state of New York, you can no longer place a bet. They're considering a gambling site,
right,
an
right.
illegal gambling site. So you can no
bets.
Longer
yeah,
place
yeah,
a bet on a daily fantasy sports site.
No, I actually haven't done the daily stuff yet. It feels like.
It's awesome if you have the right algorithm.
Well, no. No. Everyone seems to have a lot of fun with it, quite frankly. Like, and it makes me nearly regret having done like the season long stuff because of, like the flexibility and the lack of need to like play every day, pay attention. You can just play when you want. I love that. I love just like the commercials say.
Well, I think what it would do is like it would prevent guys like me from being in 6 fantasy leagues.
Right.
Right. So right. Now I might be in 1 or 2, right. And then just play fantasy daily. Right?
Right.
Because even if those 2 leagues go to shit, who cares? I can win money this week.
Yeah. No. I'm surprised these leagues ever came to be, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it feels like there's so much other, you know, this kind of goes along with your conspiracy thoughts, but, like, there's so many other powers that be, like, the emergence of this, like, for instance, like, mobsters and real casinos and shit, they're like, what the fuck is this stuff?
Well, why do you think Nevada was all over it? And they said, like, absolutely not. Not in our state.
So, like, I'm just surprised these companies really came to be. What's interesting, though, is that like they both FanDuel and DraftKings. I mean, they've actually been around longer than most of us realize. Like they've been real companies since, you know, we'll call it like 5-6 years at this point. Early on, I mean, I don't know about you, and we're both fairly active in knowing about this shit and participating. Like I didn't do this. Like it felt not real. I mean, I think
the problem is that they got too big too quick. So like
they both went all in this year. Yeah, in
but
particular.
They,
yeah.
They had every right to go all in because, you know, they're making like they have all these investors. So it says here on CNBC, investors have sunk a combined $575 million into both DraftKings and FanDuel, right? So, and they offer like millions, but it was something like in the first week, like it was double digit $1 million, like bring in profit that these sites made, that FanDuel made.
I felt surreal. Like I felt like I couldn't even believe that. And incidentally, too, like part of my sourness of not really playing is because, you know, I did audition for the FanDuel spokesperson, and I did not get it.
Can you give us a line?
No.
Suck in these balls.
That'll cost you.
You weren't going to be the guy who was like, millions of people are making money. Like that guy comes out, hey, do you have a sweatshirt that makes you look like a pothead?
No.
Can
that
you not
guy,
shave?
Yeah, right. No, I did not. I do not have an Andrew Luck beard like that guy.
Still haven't played FanDuel? Why not? Listen to these guys.
I flip him the bird every time.
Hi, I'm Steven. I've won $2. My pending bonus should kick in 20 years from
right.
now.
I won 200 because I put 200 in and I didn't play.
I think the problem is they got too big, too fast. Yeah. They didn't grease the right wheels, right? So when there are when there's this much money at play, you know, like because they both DraftKings and FanDuel have offices in New York. So in FanDuel, they're based in New York, and they have a satellite office for DraftKings in New York, right? So they're in New York. Yeah. So your best interests were to buy some lobbyists, send them to the state legislature and make sure that this stays legal, especially when 10% of your people, 10% of your business comes from New York. You better make sure you can stay legal in New York.
I can't believe how much I'm agreeing, or at least nearly agreeing with you this evening.
I'm on tonight, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah, too much logic, not enough funny.
Well, my buddy, my good buddy,
I'm not laughing enough. I am agreeing, and I'm like, I feel like I'm in the fucking in Congress or something. Like this is ridiculous.
My good buddy Tommy and I.
Hear ye,
he makes a good point. My good buddy Tommy and I, we each put $100 into a FanDuel account. So we started with $200. We are at $210.23 or something like that. Today, once they made it illegal in New York, I withdrew $180. So that leaves us $30 and change in our account, just in case they drop dead and they go bankrupt. Companies this big have gone bankrupt before and people lose all their money. So I withdrew. I took my $180. I took $180 out. And at that way, I looked and I said, hey, at the worst, we each lost $10 doing this. But I'm not going to leave all $200-some in my account and then just let it sit there. And when another state jumps on, and all of a sudden you can't do it anymore, they just take the money and head to Argentina like Hitler. You gonna agree with that one?
Yeah, you've gone too far.
The History Channel. I've been watching a lot of it lately.
Or what if you're cryogenically frozen and that $10 actually, when you wake up many thousands of years from now, that $10 has made you one of the wealthiest people on the planet based on interest, just like in Futurama.
Or what if it? Yeah, what if it's? Well, what if it's like it's not enough money, and they kill me for being so poor? I could see that happening more.
I don't know what to make of that.
Me neither. All right, and I don't know what to make of this NFL season. That leads us into our next segment here, the NFL Midseason Report, brought to you by the Daily Upper Decker. Nothing but sports and crap. Find us on Facebook, on Twitter at Daily Upper Deck, and of course on Vine, where you can hear about sucking in all these balls. All right.
Suck in these balls.
So Midseason Report, what do you think so far as a Broncos fan?
It was good. I mean, we're better than I thought we'd be. You know, defense has really proven themselves. I find that the last game was a bit of an anomaly.
Like a fix?
Or in Tommy Gimler speak, a fix.
What does he need? He needs 2 more yards? Okay, I'll make sure I get it at home.
Well, you know, there are many storylines, I suppose, you could look at in that way. So I'm not worried about last game. I like, as a Broncos fan, how can I not be happy? You know, Peyton looks iffy, but defense looks phenomenal. Weird that the running game is in a strange place, but, you know.
So you don't think, like, shit like that comes into play? Like, you know, when all of a sudden it's like, oh, my God, he only needs 2 more yards. Let's throw an interception right here. And you know what? He's going to get a chance to do it here on this drive, because what's going to happen is the Colts are going to kick a field goal to make it 30-24. So Peyton Manning's going to have, 20, 30 seconds on the clock. He's going to get his 2 yards, but it's not going to be in, like, a beautiful way. It's not going to be in a beautiful way at all. It's going to be in a losing effort because they're not going to get down the field. So Peyton, just throw an interception. Okay, that takes care of that problem. And then now when you're going to kick a field goal, let's bring a guy up to do a personal foul. A Three Stooges type personal foul, just to make sure that we hold on to the ball.
Dude, the poke in the eye, that's...
I'm telling you, like, this shit, it's just, you can't always just keep there. You just can't sit there and look and just say every single time, well, that was a weird coincidence.
Well, and here,
well, you know, that's strange the way it happened, but that's why they call it the NFL.
Well, to your point about how, and the NFL obviously has been around a long time, and so, like, its rise to near invincibleness is not been
the shield,
totally
yeah.
slow, but yes, the shield is at an all-time most powerful, and that's when, like, shit gets exposed, man. Like, and so I'm not, you know, that's when the scrutiny from a beyond, like, the playing of the games starts to get up to notch. And
I think that's just the society we live in now, where the product itself is no longer good enough. It's what's going on off the field.
Well,
what can we do to keep us in
made,
the news
right?
And, like every single...
Like, they've got to have, you know, they got the octopus-style tentacles of trying to keep everything on the up and up, right? And, you know, you got wild-ass players. You got, like, refs making bad calls. You got, like, any number of things, right? You got, like, relocation of teams and, like, the story, like, their desire... And this goes to other points that you, among others, have made about, like, the annual storyline now, the day in, day out, even when the season's not on, not even close to being on, of the NFL. Like, you are always hearing about fucking football.
Correct.
But the difficulty with that, like, there's the flip side of the coin, which means it's very difficult to manage and try and keep on the up and up. Like, it's just a lot of moving parts all the time. Either that's to camouflage the things you're attempting to point out, or just in general maintain, like, human nature and just the way folks behave, whether that's owners or players or whomever, fans, whatever. So it's just become a very near. It's coming to the point of being a near unmanageable beast. It's so popular, so big, and, you know, and their desire to really, like, push forth, you know, across the seas to make the league go there. Like, I think that's bold and will fail.
They're not going to put up with that shit in Portugal once we get a team in Lisbon. They're not going to put up with that shit there. All right, hey, for the first time in NFL history, three teams are undefeated at 8-0. Who will finish with the better record? We're not going to throw the Patriots in there. We know they're going to have the best record. maybe not. Not as good as the Broncos once they lose there. But the Bengals or the Panthers, two teams that no one had being 8-0 at this point in the season. To your best guess, your best prediction, which team, the Bengals or the Panthers, will finish with a better record at the end of the year?
It's kind of a weird, hard one. Though I would have, at the beginning of the season, if I was asked, who among these two will have the better record, just flat out, forget about 8-0. I would have said the Bengals. I actually would have said it's got to be the Bengals' time. Like, I would have said their team looks good on paper. They've got
If
experience.
I had a Glock in your mouth and said, tell me.
Yes, I would
tell
go.
Tell me.
I would go. I guess I'll still stick with that. The Bengals. They're also in, like, a relatively shitty division. You know, I think they've got the pieces together, whereas the Panthers are – good defense, not phenomenal, good defense. I mean, I think everyone likes to get extra excited, but, you know, it's a Cam Newton affair. And that's got to run out. I mean, and, you know, good for him. I actually think he should be, I guess he's there with Tom Brady, but he should be the front runner as the MVP. Like, no one means more to his team than Cam Newton right now.
I will forget that you said that. I did an article a couple weeks ago that proved why he is not the MVP. And I'll tell you what, you're the MVP of this league should complete more passes than Jay Cutler.
The wins
don't matter. Not in this league. It's not this league is completely different. The MVP is the best quarterback or the best running back. Hands down, that's just the way it is.
You
Cam
play
Newton,
to win the game.
Oh, I understand that, Herm, but so you're saying that the Bengals, you think, are going to have the better record at the end of the year?
I just think they're more genuinely a more complete team, and they, you know, they're showing it week in and week out. They win in different ways. Andy Dalton seems matured. He's got a new haircut. That's terrific.
getting a lot of attention.
Yeah, a lot of attention, but he's he's not crumbling under it. I guess that's also it, right?
I'm gonna be completely just. I'm gonna go against you on this one, which is good. This is what the listeners want. They want you to say one thing. They want me to say the other. I'm gonna go here with the Panthers, and this is why the Panthers are 8-0 right now.
You just told me how Cam Newton is not worthy. So
correct, but I'm not saying that he's the MVP. But I'm telling you that this is who his team is playing, and this was part of my argument. Look at the schedules. The schedules aren't even close. So the next 8 games at Tennessee, against Washington, at Dallas, at New Orleans, that's where they lose. Then they're going to beat Atlanta at home.
They're going to lose to Tennessee.
No, they will not. Yeah. They will not.
Yeah, I'm saying it.
Then
right
they get
here,
Atlanta
right
at home. They could lose to the Giants in New York. Then they go to Atlanta, which that might be Atlanta might be on the fence postseason at that point. Atlanta might play real hard. Then they get Tampa Bay. I think that that's a 14-2 football team right there. So what everyone's saying right now, like the road to the Super Bowl in the NFC goes through Carolina, that is absolutely correct.
All right, see, right there, I would think that'd be the one thing you would refute. You would say, fuck you, ESPN, and your 1,100 football pundits. And you would be like, no, they will not. I'm shocked.
You were once the third string quarterback on the team. How did you feel when this situation? Yeah. I'm just saying, look at the schedule. Now look at the Bengals.
Well, you have the benefit of seeing the schedule one in front of you, and you won't give me your Wi-Fi password, so I can't actually look it up and on my own devices.
It's
so that's,
too easy.
You put me at a disadvantage.
Look,
already.
I can't have both of our listeners coming down here and like getting free Wi-Fi off me here. So now if you look at the Bengals, they're 8-0 obviously right now. They're against Houston at home. They're going to win that game. Then they go to Arizona. That's a tough game.
Tough game.
They get St. Louis at home. They should win that game. It could be tough, though. It's a tough defense. Then they go to Cleveland. They're going to smoke them. They get Pittsburgh at home. They won in Pittsburgh, so you have to think that they're going to win that one. Then they're at San Francisco. They're dog shit. They're at Denver. They're going to lose. Then they're at home against Baltimore. So I'm looking at like 12-4, 13-3 in there.
And where did you have the Panthers on?
14-2.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty fucking close.
Either way, they're impressive.
Ultimately, you've broken it down in an unbelievably similar way. So I'm not sure you've really proven your point.
I know is that you have on November 29th, you have the St. Louis Rams traveling to Cincinnati. If you want a ticket, they start at $84. That same day in Denver, you'll have the undefeated New England Patriots going into the one-loss Denver Broncos.
Right.
Cheapest ticket there, $414.
It's mile high, baby.
5 times the value of right. that ticket to
the
Rams.
Altitude. It's Bengals the altitude.
I like that's a good one. That might be the funniest thing you said all night.
The pile.
Believe it or not, that's going to bring an end to our NFL midseason report because we are running out of Bud Lights.
Suck in these balls.
I now had 3 Bud Lights. All right, let's move on here. If I get in a car after 3 Bud Lights, I don't think I'd make it. I think I'd get arrested. And that leads us into our final segment here today, ladies and gentlemen, on the Daily Upper Decker Dudcast. It's time for the pile.
The pile.
There it is. All right, thank you very much. First up here in the pile, Judge the Fabulous T-Sean. You got to be careful. Judges are getting shot. Did you hear about that judge that got shot down in Texas?
No, but I have been watching the new season of Fargo, and also a judge got shot in the season premiere of that.
Real life, fake life, it doesn't matter. You don't want to be a judge,
buddy.
I
mean, you know, I'm a fake judge, so I don't know if that crosses both boundaries.
Be careful, buddy. It's a tough walk home tonight. Very windy. Let's see. First up here in the pile, Jose Reyes, the Colorado Rockies shortstop, allegedly grabbed his wife's throat and threw her into a sliding glass door. This happened while they were on one hell of a vacation in Hawaii. Did you see his mugshot, too? Did you see the mugshot?
I didn't see that.
Oh, my God. You got to see this here.
Aloha.
That's
Jose.
That is not what his mugshot says. His mugshot says, yeah, that happened.
I'm looking.
Either
at the
that
mugshot.
It says that happened or that bitch be crazy, man. I don't even know what I'm doing here.
Oh, shit. What is he looking at, huh?
He is like, wow. That is a like $18 million a year shortstop
What is he wearing? He looks like he did not get out of prison is actually what he looks like.
Correct. If you had, I think it was like 3-1 odds that Jose Reyes had a Superman tattoo just below his thorax.
Do you think they
four is that below is out of bounds? You collect. It's time to collect. He's got the.
I think he miscalculated where he was getting that done. he may not have known where what to call that area. That's maybe what happened when he was like, Anyway, Jose Reyes. I didn't know he was this kind of guy, I have to admit.
He's arrested after allegedly assaulting his wife in their hotel room. He allegedly grabbed his wife off the bed and shoved her. Reyes also allegedly grabbed her throat and shoved her into the sliding glass balcony door. Maui.
Did the door...
Maui Wowie.
It does it. Maui Wowie. That's the best argument I've heard all night. Funniest thing you've said, Tom. did the glass door break?
It didn't say.
I know. Details.
It didn't say, but is that what you're basing it on? Now, if it broke, we've got a case here.
Well, then that's some strong force. No, I mean, this sounds like, really, in Hawaii, that's, you know.
You're supposed to have fun in Hawaii.
Yeah, right? The island vibes, man. That's kind of hard to say. Like, and I really didn't know. He doesn't have any previous reputation like this, does he?
Nothing like this, but, you know, maybe she said something about that Superman tattoo. Yeah,
that could be it. And then
it was on Halloween, too. Maybe it took bath salts.
Oh, maybe he had it done for Halloween, and she's like, hey, stupido, you know, fuck, you can just wear the costume. You don't have to get the tattoo. And that might have sent him off the edge. He's also stuck in Colorado, where God knows when they'll ever have a good team again.
He's due $48 million over the next two seasons. Yeah. That's a lot of weed.
You know what? And here's the problem. He's stuck there now because now he's
no one's going to take that.
Off-field issues. What am I supposed to say here? Allegedly, like... It doesn't sound good. I don't like.
I think you're just going to need to. You're going to need to. It's got to be a continuance. You're going to have to know whether or not that sliding glass door broke.
Well, I mean, that was my first question, but I mean, I don't like this disharmony in the islands. I just find that, flat out wrong.
There's no fighting in Hawaii.
There shouldn't be.
Although there was a fight in Forgetting Sarah Marshall, and they were in Hawaii.
Yeah, but wasn't that hilarious?
maybe that's what you do.
Yeah.
Maybe people just fight when they go to Hawaii.
There's no other stress other than...
They have revenge sex.
Yeah, right? Well, maybe that's what he was after, right? Okay, yeah, no, continuance. You're completely correct. That's leading a judge, but I accept.
Moving on here in the pile, Christian Pryor, no relation to Richard. The Fresno State wide receiver was arrested after he made threats to female students on the app Yik Yak, saying he was going to shoot them.
I believe it's Yik Yak.
Yik Yak. Yik Yak, yeah. Are you on Yik Yak?
No.
Yik Yak, yeah. It sounds like something
like... I just read it correctly. That's all off the notes.
It sounds like something where the average age of the person on Yik Yak is about half mine.
Or it's for like, middle-aged guys going through that midlife crisis. I don't know. Like,
well, for starters, Christian Pryor is an ugly motherfucker, right? He does not look like a...
Maybe he is a bastard child.
He might be between races here. It's unfortunate. The time is here at 3 p.m. I will release my frustrations. Tired of dirty looks. Get rejected. ND being talked about because of how I dress. My choice of weapon, M4. Is it carbine? M4, I don't know, guns.
Oh, I don't know, no.
And I will take a headshot at a hot blonde.
This is what he said on Yik Yak?
Yeah, he got zero replies.
Well, I don't think it's a high-profile app, though. I just, for all you hip...
Maybe that's why girls are rejecting him. He's like, yo, girl, look me up on Yik Yak. She's like, I'm not on Yik Yak.
They're like, come on, Christian, get on Tinder. So I don't know. Like, yeah, now maybe he's got social media ineptitude. But
plus he's a walk-on, so he's not even getting a scholarship.
Well, fuck this guy then. I mean, you're not even going to get paid if that happens. I don't know. That's a pretty vile thing. I don't like what he said. So.
I will take a headshot at a hot blonde.
There's no detriment to the team. Plus, the team's...
Your Honor, I met with my dick. I don't think so. I don't think that's...
Fresno State is kind of shitty this year. So I say, Christian, pay the price.
Now, Fresno State was good. They need him.
Well, I mean, obviously, it's all context.
Thankfully, the judge didn't have the over on the win total for Fresno State this year. Moving on here in the pile, Glenn Rice Jr. Somebody's not as good as his daddy. The former Wizards player was arrested after he got shot in Atlanta near the rapper T.I.'s restaurant. Not a good day when you get shot and you get arrested.
I've heard his restaurant's actually not doing that well either.
T.I.?
They overcook the ribs.
Is this true or no?
I don't know.
Oh, I thought you'd heard this. I thought maybe...
I get the down low on a lot of shit, but I don't know. Like, sometimes I get confused. I don't think he's going to be as good as his daddy. So is he not playing anymore?
It doesn't look like it.
He's already...
There was a time when Glenn Rice Jr. was considered an NBA prospect. None of those guys on... He was on Michigan, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So none of those guys ended up being anybody. Remember it was Glenn Robinson's kid?
Yeah, he sucks
balls. He sucks in these balls. Then it was Hardaway's kid, Tim Hardaway Jr. He sucks. He's already on his second team. He's down in Atlanta now, I think.
Glenn Rice Jr. is terrible? Wow.
Rice Jr. is reportedly injured by a gunshot to the leg and subsequently arrested for possession of 240 grams of marijuana. So he's dealing, he's slinging dope.
Wow. I don't even know what to make of this. I can't believe I didn't know this story, but I'm kind of shocked, and I know T.I.'s restaurant's struggling, but I don't think he's going to be as good as his daddy. I think that's a fair assessment. And is this part of your argument? He's not going to be as good as his father, Glenn Rice, who...
And I don't know how much money his dad has left. He might not have enough money to bail his kid out here, and it's obviously Glenn Rice Jr. doesn't have any money left.
I think Glenn Rice lived it pretty large when he was on the Heat, man. Like, in the early years, like, he was, I think, their first draft pick. When they as an expansion team, I think Glenn Rice was their first.
He was,
yeah. So I think he lived. He was like, and no one had any expectations for the fucking Heat. So I think Glenn Rice was like living it up, and then I think he had Glenn Rice Jr. He's like, oh snap!
Should have went to eat at Joe's.
Let's see here. What do I say about him? What, like, he got a shot. I mean. He didn't shoot anybody, right?
No, he didn't shoot anybody. He got shot, but then he was busted with 240 grams of marijuana on him.
It's just the herb. I don't know. Let the kid go get high. I got no problems with
this. Is that not a lot of weed, though?
Like, if you're saying it in grams, you know, that's not that much, man.
Okay. Then he's all right for, he's all right by me, then. Then it's just like, hey, you learned your lesson. You got shot. You know, no need to get arrested, then.
In weed talk, it's like, you know, 3.5 grams is an eighth. So, I mean, ultimately, that's only a few ounces. I don't know. I just don't think it's that much. Like, you can't even fill a fucking, you can't even fill like an old Buick Skylark trunk with that much weed. Like,
well, then we spent way too much time on this. Yes. I think he's deserved his punishment. He's already gotten. He got shot in the leg.
Fair enough. Yeah, he got shot in the leg.
Can't even play in Europe with that. Or in the former Soviet republics.
Moving on.
Moving on here, Raiders linebacker Ray Armstrong is under investigation for taunting a police dog in Pittsburgh, and that is apparently a felony.
I mean, I'm sure they probably only called him Ray, and that was the problem. I think he got pissed. Ray, and he's like, well, we don't need to say.
Don't
it
bark
twice.
At our dog. Don't. No. I'm telling him my name is Ray.
Yeah. So under for taunting a police dog, like. These guys aren't even really doing that much wrong anymore. Like,
that's a felony. Can you believe that?
For taunting
a police dog.
Wow.
It says Armstrong lifted his shirt, pounded on his chest, and began barking at the canine while heading onto the field.
Wow. I mean maybe they should bring Ray to a shelter and maybe someone nice can adopt him. That's what I'm decreeing. Move on.
Adopt who? The dog or Ray?
Ray.
Oh, Ray. Okay, all right. That's
maybe he'll find a nice home and he'll get nicer.
Giants fan Daniel Justin Raboni was arrested after trying to set fire to the massive 80 by 50 foot Buccaneers flag at team headquarters in Tampa. It's not the sad part of that story is it's not an Eagles, Cowboys, or Redskins flag. That's
sort of like, really going to pick on the fucking Bucks.
But once you see his mugshot, you might understand why he did it.
Oh, wow.
That's a mugshot right there.
That's his mugshot.
That's like someone woke me up at like 5:30 in the morning on Christmas morning to tell me that Santa just brought down the gifts. You're like, what, dude?
Yeah, Santa stole the gifts. Like, that's the look. And like, oh, my, he should make that his Facebook profile. Like, that's like hilarious.
Man, I didn't do that. $26,000. That's how much the flag costs.
All right, so fucking make him pay it then. You're a fucking idiot, Raboni.
Something tells me he's not going to be able to afford it. Look at that jacket they've got on him. Yeah, like, look at that, the green like strap. I mean, was he like shirtless or did they?
Yeah, what is it?
It might be a straight jacket,
it
right?
It looks like one of those vests they put on you when they take x-rays of you at the dentist.
That might be like some kind of straight jacket. Like he might have been pretty crazy.
Yeah, but he looked pretty comatose. He looked kind of harmless. He's like, no, just.
He looked like he was in no pain, man.
Pay for the fucking flag, man.
Why are you taking my picture?
Yeah, that is what he looks like.
All right, last up here in the pile, we've got Chris Berman. ESPN allegedly
Boomer.
Settled a sexual harassment lawsuit against the fat perv most called Boomer, was filed by a former makeup artist.
Well, and he probably needed some work before every show. Like, I don't think he's a naturally handsome man.
You don't think?
Yeah, well, I'm just, you know, I hate to judge, being a judge and all.
He's been a perv. There are videos online. I'm going to bring up a video of Chris Berman back when they were doing the Sunday night. It was like Sunday NFL countdown, and it was when ESPN was still doing Sunday night football instead of Monday night football. And he was hitting on like whether or not she was like the makeup person. I mean, she might have been the line producer of the show. Did you ever see this?
No, there are
other videos too where he was talking about going up to Toronto to get like drugs.
Is this proper evidence for this case though? Like, I guess that's what's really concerning.
Yes,
right
this
now.
Is okay. Because all right. Because
it's,
right now
it's at
the
then.
Right now it's at the alleged
oh,
stage,
got it,
right?
Got it. Okay.
But then when you see and hear this video, listen to this.
Rebecca. Look at Rebecca. Oh, it's our last one.
I know. I just found out.
He did give her a big speech.
I'm not.
Well, I know you're not.
I think I went to Syracuse with that girl.
Oh, wait. We're going to finish this. Almost done. How are you? How was Chris? Well, I mean. No, wine was good. Did you think of me when you drank it?
Yeah.
Like, did
you maybe toasted
you?
Did
you like
the damn thing?
Squirm a little bit?
No.
Come on.
I was in a Japanese restaurant. You can only squirm so much. It went well with sushi.
Because it's pretty clean. It's not a Chardonnay with a lot of bite. Which, by the way, some Chardonnay with bite is fine. But it's a pretty clean. And it's not that expensive. It's way beyond what it costs.
Right. Oh, but it was wonderful.
It's hard to find here. In California, you can find a lot.
It was really
so it's not a Napa, it's a Santa Barbara, which is not, it's a clean white, so it's not going to screw up a lot of, it's clean.
Very good.
Glad you enjoyed it.
Oh, I did. All right.
I hope I'm there the next time you have the bottle.
Yeah, see? So I think that
I don't know.
You'll know where to find me, he says. So
I mean,
did you think of me, did you? Squirm a little bit. Like, he's a fucking fat perv, right? And he's the kind of guy too, like, you know, he's got that ego, right? Like, any single time he does a highlight, he always has to show a clip of him golfing and like chipping in for bird. And that's just the way he is. He's an ego fucking maniac. So you ask me, did this happen? I say, fuck yeah, it happened. Allegedly my ass. ESPN settled the lawsuit, so there had to be something there.
Well, all right then.
Guilty?
No. Yes?
What? Make a decision. You know what? That's the perfect way to bring this shit dickery to an end. It's the Daily Upper Decker. Nothing but sports and crap.
The Daily Upper Decker. Nothing but sports and crap.